This is The Difference, a podcast for nonprofit fundraising in a for-profit world, presented by Convergent Nonprofit Solutions, a leader in nonprofit fundraising. Convergent's professionals can help your nonprofit secure sustainable funding now and for the future.
Welcome to The Difference. I'm Jay Wirth. I'm pleased to have Alyssa Durfee as our guest today. She has an interesting background as a clinical researcher. She has authored a few children's books. She owns a business. She has a bachelor's degree in biology, master's degrees in global health and business administration, and is undergoing her doctoral research for her clinical laboratory science and practice, working full-time in the biotech industry. And yet, she still has time to appear on The Difference. Alyssa, thanks for joining us. And what prompted me to ask you to be a guest on the program was you're speaking at an upcoming conference. And by the time this podcast airs, it may have concluded. I noticed the title, Leveraging Your Daily Activities to Increase Productivity and Satisfaction When You Don't Have the Time. And I think the nonprofit professionals who are listening to us today must often feel stretched and overcome with an onslaught of information, priorities, tasks, and responsibilities. Has that been your experience, and what pulled you out of that?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. First of all, Jay, thank you so much for having me on the podcast. I'm really excited to be here. The Elevate conference was coming up and excited to share that information. So I would say as far as my experience and things that have sort of kept me busy and on my toes, I definitely have my parents used to say I had a finger in every pie. Maybe that's a South Georgia term, but that was definitely how it was for me growing up. And then moving into my professional life, it definitely kind of continued there.
What plays into this feeling of overwhelmed, wondering, you know, how do I prioritize? Do limiting beliefs have anything to do with that? And if so, what are they?
100%. I think limiting beliefs, first off, are anything that, for good or bad, is keeping you in your comfort zone. So for me, I am a terrible runner, but I love competing in races and things like that. So a limiting belief of, oh, I can never finish a marathon. That's probably a safety mechanism of a limiting belief, in that, you know, I feel like my life is slowly coming to an end. By the end of a half marathon, just kidding, by the end of a 10K, nope, probably a 5K. By the end of a 5K, my life is ending. So running a marathon is probably not something I should do. And that's a fine limiting belief to have. But then I think as professionals and going into the world of nonprofits, having limiting beliefs as far as there's no way that I can be a successful mom and work this job. There's no way that I can pursue furthering my education if I'm working the way that I'm working. There's no way that what I am doing now applies to anything important in the larger picture. So why continue to exhaust myself and put forward that effort? So I think we have the tendency to have those limiting beliefs that sometimes you don't even realize that you're working through. And those can keep you in unhealthy relationships or in jobs that truly don't have a future or a roadmap sort of to success from there. But I think it can also keep you from recognizing and embracing the opportunities that you have in the present moment. I know that's definitely a place that I have had to learn and grow, especially over the last couple of years. Where do I want to grow? How do I expect myself to get there? And what does that actually look like in reality? So for that talk that you were referencing, where we talk about buckets, that was kind of where the concept came from, is I have so many parts of my life that are important. How do I carry everything that I need to carry in a meaningful way? I really found myself mid-2020 kind of on the outset, looking like from the outside looking at me, I looked like I was living the dream with the white picket fence and the dog and the job and the everything. And I was traveling all over. My professional title, I guess, is a molecular geneticist. So during COVID, as horrible as that time was, I was in huge demand. So I was still traveling and doing everything that I needed to do, kind of on the forefront of COVID. And so I found myself more and more as 2020 kind of wore on, completely burned out and completely exhausted and very much kind of in a almost hopelessness, scarcity mindset of how am I going to find a way forward through things with all that's going on and all the demands that I have.
So you found yourself at that place. How did you move out of it?
So I think the first step is recognizing that you have a problem. And I know that that's kind of a canned stereotypical answer, but that's definitely the case. Recognizing that I wasn't happy. And though I had all of these external signals of success, if you will, I was not in a place that I went to bed or woke up in the morning like, okay, I've accomplished good things. I feel good about what I did today. I feel positive. I'm excited about tomorrow. Like I wasn't having those feelings. So I really kind of took a deep dive into personal development in a way, again, with work being as crazy as it was a really hard time, but fitting in as much kind of investigation into myself, if you will, was really, really helpful. I started going to therapy because I felt like that's what everybody did in 2020 when, you know, things were really going downhill in the world in general. So therapists were the real heroes of COVID. So my therapist pretty early on was like, okay, well, like I hear you saying you're doing all these things and you're successful in these ways, and that's great. So what are you doing for self-care? And I was like, well, I mean, I don't know, like getting sleep. And she was like, okay, well, like how much sleep? And I was like, I don't know, like, you know, like 8 hours if I can. And she was like, okay, so how much are you actually sleeping? I was like, well, like 4 or 6 hours, maybe ish. But I really don't have time. I was like, my job has these demands. They also want me to start pursuing like an MBA. And so I have to go in all these directions. I have all these things going on and I need to sort through it. And she's like, that is not successful. You can't pour from an empty cup. So if you are sitting in a place of kind of denying and pushing down that, oh, I don't need help or I don't need to sort of offload anything and I can just kind of put my head down and get things done, you're going to get to the point that you no longer can get things done. Mentally, physically, emotionally, you are going to be depleted. So that was really where I kind of took a step back and had to take that personal inventory of where am I, what am I doing, and what do I even want? In my personal life, I had a lot of things kind of fall apart at that time, very much unrelated to my busyness, but taking up a huge chunk of time and attention. So in that case, it was kind of a like, all right, well, fresh slate. I need to start everything over, figure everything out. I was in a new city. So I just kind of said, okay, like I'm a big reader. I track the books that I read and when I read them and things like that. And I've been doing that for several years. I kind of took a deep dive into books and I had a pretty good collection from a lot of different genres and a lot of different perspectives on how to sort of balance your life. And I felt like at that point, I kind of dove into almost a checklist of, okay, I went to therapy. Yep. Okay. I hung out with my friends. Yep. Okay. I meditated. Yep. Okay. I drank some water today, along with the 15 coffees that got me through, but I drank some water today. Check. I still found myself kind of in that almost survival mode of going through and trying to figure out what to do next and better myself while also holding up the line, if you will, for everything else going on in my life.
So you made these lists, you read these books, you talked to friends. I'm still not hearing how you got out of it.
So my biggest, I think, perspective shift was kind of this buckets concept that I introduced in that talk, where essentially if your life is one bucket and you can carry only what fits in that bucket, sometimes things will bubble over, but if you put too much in that bucket, eventually things will spill out. And if things start spilling out, you really have no control over what things are spilling out and what is overflowing. Taking this bucket concept and saying, okay, here are the, say, five major areas in my life that need my attention. For math's sake, if I only have 100 drops to put into my bucket before my bucket is full, how many drops can I put in each of these areas? Maybe that's work, relationship, self-care, because again, you can't pour from an empty cup. So I have to give myself attention, even though I don't want to. I have to put myself on that mandatory list, adding in school, adding in your religion or outside responsibilities, whatever that looks like, kind of having that mapped out, putting that on paper and saying, okay, I have 100 drops to put into these five areas. How am I going to disperse this? Now, the extra areas in my life that are the things that I enjoy, but are not like critical to paying my bills and functioning as a human being, how much time and attention and how many drops can I put into each of these things? And I think recognizing that on a daily basis, the dispersion of those drops into different buckets is going to be different. If I just had a girls' weekend and I'm feeling so good, I don't need self-care today. I can focus on work. So work gets 20 drops and self-care gets 2, because again, you have to put something there. But even just recognizing, okay, I need to take care of myself to show up for others, then kind of fills that bucket, if you will. It was more of a perspective shift.
So it sounds like you almost need to do this on a daily basis. When you wake up, it's sort of, okay, here's my bucket. It's in front of me. I've got X number of drops. What drops do I put into the bucket? Is that kind of what you do? Is it on a daily basis, or is it just, is it on feelings?
It depends. I guess that's the best way to phrase it. Some weeks, if I know that things are going to be kind of crazy, so this week I'm prepping for some big travel. I'm traveling for the next 2 weeks after this week. So getting my house and my dogs and my family and everything else ready to travel this week, I'm checking my buckets on a daily basis to say, okay, what is needed from me in each of these non-negotiable areas of my life, if you will. But then I'm also looking at the week as a whole, kind of giving myself the grace to say, okay, I don't have time for this activity today, but at some point this week, I want to make sure to fit it in. So a lot of people will talk about time blocking or making changes like that. And that's similar. A book that was actually really, really helpful for me is called Off the Clock. And that book is talking about how you spend so much time in different activities without truly realizing that you're spending the time doing those things. And if you map out your time and keep kind of a diary of minute by minute or hour by hour, what are you doing? You realize you have a lot more time than you thought you had. So that was sort of the starting point, I guess, of the buckets and deciding what time do I have this week to put towards school or to put towards work? Or what is one activity that I can do to fill my self-care bucket this week? When you have so many things putting pressure on you, it's hard to commit to a daily practice of reevaluating. If you can do that, then great. But just a good starting point is looking at your week ahead. My husband and I now sit down on Sunday nights every night and say, okay, what does your week look like? What does my week look like? What do each of us have as far as buckets and how we are putting time and attention into each? I've got more time for the house this week. You have more time for the dogs. Great. Both are taken care of. I don't need to take care of the dogs in my buckets because my husband's taking care of them.
It sounds like what it boils down to in a large sense is developing a plan rather than not having an idea of what your priorities are in a given day or a given week. Was that a big aha moment for you to realize, wait a minute, I've got to stop for a moment here and actually maybe you write it down or you organize your thoughts? Do you typically write a list, when you're working with your husband on what buckets need attention in a particular a week or a day?
Yeah. So I actually definitely prefer. So I've always been a list person. I think part of my issue is I always had a list and I always had, yep, that's on my list. I'll get to it eventually. And then you get to this overwhelmingly long list of the different things that are being added to your life. And you're like, okay, well, how do I accomplish all these things that need to get done? So the easiest way that I have found is using a online like Excel sheet type or Google Sheets is what I use to kind of track. And I've got a column for the bucket and I've got a column for the time frame to say, okay, the bucket is home life. The time frame is I know that we're going to have guests on Tuesday. So I need to clean up the living room on Monday. Okay. Clean up the living room is on my list. And delineating like that and having, yes, I agree with you, a plan, but I think it's going a step beyond the plan to kind of put a timeline on things that really made a shift and recognizing I only have so much attention to give to each thing. Can I reasonably do that this week?
You're using technology to help you develop your plan. Can technology also hinder your ability to set your buckets for work-life balance?
Oh, 100%. Because you have constant connectivity in the age that we're in with whether it's Slack or Teams or email or text messages or phone calls or whatever, there is a constant incoming stream of information. And that's where I think technology is helpful in the fact that it's all, you know, in one place, in your phone, in your hand. But at the same time, it's very unhelpful because there's a constant stream of demands able to come in, whereas previous generations have experienced their 9-to-5 job is their 9-to-5 job. And when they're there, they're getting emails and phone calls, and that's great. But now, I mean, I've got 9 p.m. calls with my office in Korea. I've got calls with the team that just so happens to be visiting Australia this week that's not even usually there. And maybe those are video calls, maybe they're Slack messages, they're whatever. But yeah, I think there's a constant incoming stream of information. So technology, while it is helpful, you also have to kind of balance it because it can be extremely unproductive by way of providing you connectivity.
You have outside influences, perhaps that many people don't, because you're working literally globally. It strikes me it must be very difficult to plan for the amount of time you need in your particular bucket of life. Or have you got that all figured out?
Definitely not. I would love to say, yep, I got it figured out. Everything is good. But no, it's a constant trial and error. And yeah, I think everybody's buckets are different, if you will. I was kind of talking through this concept with my sister-in-law recently, and she's just started dating someone. And so she was talking about how her kids take up a big chunk of her life and work takes up a big chunk and taking care of the house. So now she's got sort of this open bucket of how much time and energy do I put into dating? And her significant other is kind of in the same boat of I've got all these things going on in my life. When you have the mismatches of buckets, if her dating bucket is 20 because she's all in and really wants to explore this relationship, but his is 5 because he's just kind of dabbling in dating, that relationship is not going to work. You can't figure those things out. And I think coming to that realization has helped me in kind of communication with my husband or my family or anything like that. In here's the expectations on me. Here's where I am putting my energy. What are your thoughts on that? How do yours match up with mine? And sort of it's a constantly moving, constantly changing process. That I'm married, so I don't have a dating bucket anymore. But that doesn't mean that my marriage bucket just goes to empty because I'm married, so why not? Like, check the box. No, you have to put in that effort. And so, yeah, it's a constant balancing act. And that's where if you can commit to doing it at least weekly so that you can get an idea of where you are and what you need for the week, then you at least get a broader angle picture that you can then funnel down to. If you have the demands like I do, where you feel so overwhelmed, if you don't have a plan and don't have things in order, doing that daily will definitely kind of help with that. And an important concept that I meant to mention earlier is the idea of micro habits. And so when I'm looking at my buckets, if you will, I have a daily bucket, which are the daily activities that I want to do that I know are just the things that I know that if I don't do them, eventually they will catch up to me. So maybe that's going to the gym or taking a moment for meditation in the morning or making sure to go take my dogs on a lunchtime walk or something like that. I work from home now, so it's a lot of kind of balancing between work and home life. The lines are much more grayed when you work from home. Balancing those micro habits as part of your buckets are really important, and they're good reminders to put a half a drop in that self-care bucket, if you will, throughout the day, and kind of making sure that you're touching base with yourself. And that's where the idea of the talk coming from, increasing your productivity and satisfaction, in saying, I am supremely productive, but I'm super unhappy because I'm not feeding the buckets that make me happy in my life internally. Externally, I'm doing everything I need to do. Feeding those habits is bringing on that feeling of satisfaction along with those feelings of productivity.
You mentioned earlier that you had seen a therapist when you started feeling overwhelmed and all that. What about the value of a mentor? Would that be something that could really help in overcoming this sense of being overwhelmed and wondering how to prioritize?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. Yeah. Having a therapist is great, but yeah, professionally having a mentor to say, you know, is this the big deal that I have told myself that it is? Is this, you know, my post-COVID, a lab that I was running ultimately decided to shut down soon after I had relocated to a new city for opening that lab. And so asking my mentors and my professional connections, essentially, this feels like a huge career blow. Like, it's showing on my resume. I just started this job 11 months ago and now the job is gone, but it's not through fault of my own. What does this look like? I feel like this looks like job hopping, or this looks like I'm unemployable. You know, there's so many feelings that go into professional development. Even if it's a positive, if it's, hey, I want to get my MBA, should I do it? Well, if you do it, you either go to a top 10 school and you get the experience of a lifetime for a crazy price tag, or you go get your MBA and you get the piece of paper that you need and you do it online while you're working full time.
Share with us two or three books that you found very helpful.
Books that have been the most impactful for me over the last couple of years are probably Girl Wash Your Face by Rachel Hollis. That's a really good one. Think Like a Monk by Jay Shetty is a really good one too. He's also got a podcast that I think helps kind of that perspective shift and sort of introspection. And then the last one that I would really, really recommend is Off the Clock by Laura Vanderkam. And that is the one that really shifted my perspective in, I don't have the time. What do I do? I'm overwhelmed, and kind of brought me to, oh, I do have the time. I just need to use it in a different way.
Thank you, Alyssa Durfee. If you'd like to contact Alyssa, go to her website. The address is alyssadurfee.com. That's spelled A-L-Y-S-S-A-D-U-R-F-E-Y, alyssadurfee.com. For more information about Convergent and how we can assist with your fundraising efforts, navigate to convergentnonprofit.com. I'm Jay Wirth. Thanks for listening and for making a difference in your corner of the world.